chapter 21 is where we'll be this morning to start with. We will not stay there probably for very long. But Numbers chapter 21 is where we'll start. I hope everybody had a wonderful Independence Day and enjoyed your time with your family and getting to celebrate the fact that we're Americans. I'm all right with that. I know we've come down a whole lot in our morality as a nation, but I'm still okay being here. It's a whole lot better than a lot of places in the world, so I'll take it because I can stand here and preach this morning, and can't do that everywhere else, so I will take that, and I was thinking about preaching on liberty or freedom or something to go along with the weekend, and I really did not get any peace about it, and so instead I'm going to preach on a subject that I really didn't want to preach on, and so we're gonna do it. I hope it's an encouragement to you by the end. But Numbers chapter 21, the children of Israel, as you know, earlier in the book, you get back there to chapter 13, right? They sent out the spies and in the land of Canaan. They were supposed to go in and take the land of Canaan and be victorious and take the land of promise that God had given them and told them that they would have. And of course, they rebel against God at that particular moment. They choose not to go in. They're too afraid. They're too worried. They're too scared of the giants. And so they don't go in. And so now the Lord has them wandering in the wilderness. And in verse number 4, he says, "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way." You think about that word discouraged, and I would love to ask this question, but I already know the answer. Has anybody in here ever been discouraged? Well, yeah, I mean, we're breathing, right? Discouragement is defined as being deprived of courage, right? Discouraged. Being deprived of courage or disheartened. Loss of all enthusiasm. You ever been in the place where you just aren't excited about anything? Right? Just the wind's out of the sails, right? That's the way we're looking at it. You know, you get looking around and we get thinking about these things, and discouragement's not something we like to think about, but it's very common. You go in the Bible, you start looking around, and there's some of the great men in the Bible are discouraged at times. The Apostle Paul is discouraged at times. You look at John the Baptist gets discouraged. Job, one of the greatest men in the Bible. I mean, you talk about, there's not very many people in the Bible, the Lord says, are perfect, upright, one that fears God and eschews evil. All right, there's not very many guys who he holds up as a standard of righteousness in the Bible. There's Job, a standard of righteousness, and you know what he was? He got discouraged. David gets discouraged. Samuel gets discouraged. I can't find one thing wrong about Samuel in the entire Bible outside of maybe that his kids didn't walk in his ways. But he got discouraged. We'll see that in a little bit. Elijah, one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament, gets discouraged. I mean, discouragement is normal. Peter's discouraged. Joshua gets discouraged. These are men that we look at in the Bible, and they're heralded as some of the greatest people to have ever lived. All right? So here's the deal. Don't get down because you got discouraged. All right, don't hold that, because this is what I'm going to talk about today. Ultimately, discouragement, if you leave it untreated, you know what it leads to? It leads you into a depression. Now, that's a whole lot worse than discouragement. Now, I'm not going to ask this either, so don't raise any hands. How many have ever been depressed? We live in a world today that can be very depressing. You look around at some things, you look around at circumstances, you look around at life, you look around at your problems, you look around at all these things, you know what you find? You can be depressed real fast. Say, what's the difference between depression and discouragement? Discouragement's very short. It leaves you feeling roughed up. It leaves you feeling down. It leaves you feeling like things just aren't going so good. But don't worry, victory's coming and you'll get out of there. Depression is you don't get out of there. And the scary reality is that more and more I find as I deal with more and more people that they stay discouraged and they get depressed. And if you get there, it's an awful lot harder to get back out of there. It takes far more work. So I want you to avoid going into depression. Discouragement is there. It's going to be there. We'll talk about why we have that. But the truth is, if you stay discouraged long enough, you'll get into depression. And that's eating people alive nowadays. Because they don't know how to get out of that. Now it's a whole lot better to avoid it. It's a whole lot better to avoid all of it. But the truth is, I think everybody in here, we can understand, you're going to get discouraged. But don't stay there. Don't stay there. The Bible lets us know in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, of course, you know the verse, that God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Depression is not a sound mind. It's not sound thinking. Discouragement is pretty normal. You can get discouraged, but you're not supposed to stay there. Amen. You bounce back awful quick in that spot, hopefully. Right? A just man, he falls down seven times, doesn't stay there. Excuse me. He riseth up again. He gets back up. He gets out of that hole that he fell down into so he can get back up and do what he's supposed to do. You know what the devil would love? He would love no more or no less than for you to be depressed and out of the work and not doing a thing. Right. Now, discouragement and depression, I'm not getting into all the psychology of it. I'm not going to be weird, okay? You say, they're pretty synonymous in this. They're synonymous that they have some of the same symptoms. They start the same way. Because I think personally, depression starts with the discouragement. I could be totally wrong, but I think they do. They go hand in hand. Something triggers to get you down far enough to be in depression. Now, both of them can change your eating habits. You're not eating as much. You're not feeling as good. You're not, you know, you're distracted. You're down. You want to sleep a little bit more. You don't want to get up and get going. You're feeling it. You're feeling that lethargic awfulness, not because you ate too much meat and you're in a meat coma from 4th of July. Amen. All right. It's because instead you're looking around. You don't want to deal with what you've got to deal with. Now you stay there long enough, it'll become depression, it'll become your lifestyle. Excuse me. I got something weird going on. Pray that gets out of there. And you know what he says? He says, I don't want you to have that spirit of fear. I don't want you to have that thought process. You know what depression brings you down with? Discouragement, fear, that's all tied in. You're afraid. You're afraid of dealing with something. You're afraid of doing something. You're afraid of changing something. You're afraid of what's going to happen in the future. You're afraid. You're afraid. That fear continues to build. It'll be depressing, man. You look around at everything else and you think, man, this is awful. You say, man, this message is going to be terrible. No, it's not. I promise. I like this one. Because it tells you you don't have to be there. You don't have to stay in that mindset. The trouble is that you and I have a battlefield, and we've talked about it. We're in a fight, and the fight is not that you and I have flesh and blood to fight against, and we're not fighting for our nation as a liberty and to go out and fight another nation to go ahead and gain some ground or gain some... No, instead, you and I, we're fighting a spiritual battle that all takes place in the mind. We know it. 2 Corinthians tells us that. It's replete with that. That you and I are casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We understand the battle is right here because that's where you're going to start with depression and anxiety and all the things that pile up and put you in the place where you'll stay depressed and you won't just be in discouragement. And God doesn't want you to stay there. And so let's have a word of prayer. We're going to look at why we have it, the cause, the concern, and the cure. this morning of discouragement. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you for your multiple blessings. Father, you're so good to us. Father, most of the time we just need to remember that, and that will jog us out of that funk we've gotten ourselves into. So, Father, I do pray you would bless the day, strengthen us, help us, encourage us. I pray if someone here doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that today would be the day of salvation for them. And Lord, so many times your people are dealing with discouragements. So many times they let it sit, and it becomes a depression. It comes with something that's not as easy to get past anymore. Father, I pray you'd keep us in the place where, Lord, when we do have a setback and we do have something that discourages us, I pray we wouldn't stay there. We'd encourage ourselves in the Lord. We'd get strong and we'd look to you. And Father, I pray you would bless the message today. I pray it would be a help and an encouragement to all that are here. We love you, and I do pray you'd bless us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, we're not going to turn to all these places. If I turn to all these places, we will be here until tonight. So we'll just roll right into the evening message, okay? So we're not going to go to all these places. So if you want to take some notes and you want to write some of these verses down and some things that you find in the Scriptures, we find that the causes of depression to discouragement, they come from all over the place. It's not just, well, this one thing happens and then I automatically, now I'm going to be discouraged. There's so many places that you find this throughout the Bible that I probably won't even get all of them that are there. You think about just for a few things. In Luke chapter 22, you've got Simon Peter. Right, we're coming up to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Jesus has been arrested. He's already told the disciples that they're all going to flee and they're all going to run and they're all going to go away and they're not going to follow him. And you get down to the end of the chapter and he'd already told Peter. He says, Simon Peter, he says, hey, you're going to deny me thrice. And as Jesus is walking out, Peter denies him that third time. They're leading him out of the court. And that cock crows, Peter looks over toward Jesus, and the Lord works all that timing out, doesn't he? Peter turns and looks, verse 60 down to 62, and Jesus makes eye contact with him, and Peter knows exactly what he's done. And he goes out and he weeps bitterly. That'll discourage you. You say, what, sin? Betrayal of Jesus Christ, there you go, that's sin. You realize every time we sin, we've betrayed our Savior. Every time we go against Him, it's a betrayal. You know what sin does to us? Sin will cause us to get discouraged. You ever have something you can't get past, or you keep failing at, and you keep failing at, and you keep sinning, you keep sinning, you keep sinning? You ever been there? I mean, maybe I'm the only one. Right, we get there. And you know what? That's discouraging to think, Lord, I failed again. I sinned again. I've sinned again. Lord, I sinned 14 times on the same thing this morning. What am I doing, right? Isn't that how we feel? That'd be discouraging. I'm never going to get it. I'm never going to get it. Losing courage. I don't even know, why do I even bother fighting it anymore, right? Isn't that how we feel? I know I'm not the only one. I got a couple of them, right? We think, man, Lord, sin is depressing. It's discouraging. And then if you stay there and you keep thinking that way, you know where you'll be. You'll be all the way to depression. You'll quit. You'll quit even trying to stop it. You'll quit trying to go and fight it. You'll quit trying to do it right. You'll quit trying. If you let sin win, and you go, oh man, I'm too discouraged and I just don't even want to fight anymore. You know what you'll be? You'll be defeated. And so you'll be down in depression. We sang it this morning. Who is on the Lord's side? We're in a fight. We're in a battle. Guess what? You're going to lose some days. Because you're you. Lord never loses. But we sure struggle some days. And sin wins. And that can be discouraging. Get your mind in the wrong place. Peter gets discouraged. You know, your shortcomings goes kind of hand in hand with the sin. Your own shortcomings can lead to some discouragement. You know what you should do, and you don't do. It's not just I messed it up, it's that I know I should be better. Boy, isn't that one of the worst things to hear somebody say? Boy, I thought you were better than that. Oh, that's brutal. That might be one of the worst things to hear, especially your mom says to you, I raised you better than that. Isn't that, gentlemen, I don't know if there's one thing worse than hearing your mother say that to you. I raised you better than, and you are like, oh, yeah. Our shortcomings. You know, Joshua dealt with that at Ai. Right? They come into Jericho. They defeat Jericho. They blow that thing right over. Walls fall down. They get this great victory. Doesn't know that Achan stole some stuff that he wasn't supposed to take. They send a few hundred men over to Ai and go, ah, it's a little one. Just go ahead and take it. Walking in. A little bit of pride. Walking in. Figure we got this. Never talked to the Lord. Never checked in. Right? They get whooped by a little tiny Ai. And Joshua falls down in front of the Lord. Joshua, Lord, what did we do? What? How come we're... And he goes, get off your face. But he's discouraged. He's like, man, we should have won that. I mean, look at Jericho. This isn't Jericho we're fighting here. We didn't know we could beat Jericho, but you get Jericho and you know what you think? Ai is nothing. I got a big victory. I'm riding high. We got all the courage in the world. Send four guys. Who cares? Whole city, four guys will take it. Who cares? Just plow them down. We're so amazing. We can just whoop on everybody. Let's go. And then you get punched in the mouth. And that confidence goes away awful quick. And the fight you should have won, you didn't win. The thing you should have gotten, you didn't get. That'll be discouraging. My expectations didn't get met. How many times do we have expectations for ourselves especially that we don't live up to? And now here we are. And that discouragement, you know what that turns into? That turns into the devil whispering in your ear, yeah, you'll never win. You'll never get that. You could never have another chance at that. By the way, they do take Ai, don't they? Peter does get right with the Lord and goes on to write multiple books of your Bible. I mean, they don't stay where they are. You can stay if you want to. We'll talk about that in a minute. You can stay, but you'll be in depression eventually. A whole lot harder to get out. Your sin, your shortcomings, you know, somebody else can put you in a bit of a discouraged state. You know, Samuel is looking at Saul, and Saul makes his choices, right? Saul's supposed to be the king, and he's supposed to go ahead and wipe everybody out, and he doesn't wipe everybody out, he doesn't listen to the command, and he fails, and he loses, the Holy Spirit's taken from him. And all you all know the story, I hope. If not, go back and read all of 1 Samuel. That way you know all of it, all right? Hate for you to miss anything. And Samuel gets done, and in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 35, it says that he was so upset about it that he wished he never would have made Saul king. It wasn't Samuel's job to make Saul king. The Lord allowed that. The people chose Saul. And the Lord told Samuel, go ahead and anoint him. That's who they want. They can have him. But you know what Samuel's thinking? He's thinking, man, if I wouldn't have done that and that guy wouldn't have been able to be in that spot. And it said, somebody else's stuff. Now, what? None of that was Samuel's responsibility. Right. Samuel didn't ask to have a king. Samuel warned the people not to take that king. The Lord warned the people not to take the king. All these guys are out there and they want and they want and they want. And so he goes, oh, the Lord says, let him have it. It wasn't Samuel's choice, and it wasn't Samuel's choice for Saul to disobey the word of the Lord. In fact, Samuel shows up and fixes the problem. He's ripping the sword out and just going ahead and running those guys through. He says, you don't want to kill them? I'll kill them, Saul. You're a man enough to kill everybody that's here that's supposed to die? I'll take care of that. But now here he is going, you ever take the blame for somebody else's stupidities and failures? You ever feel like that? You think that their choices are your problem? That'll discourage you. Parents, your kids grow up, they become an adult, they start making their own choices, they make some dumb choices. Your answer's not, well, that's my fault. No, they made their choices. They made their choices. That'll be discouraging, though. That'd be discouraging. You give somebody, one of your friends, one of your family, you give them counsel, you try and help them, they do something you didn't tell them to do. That'll discourage you. Is there anything else? You can ask Pastor Legault, you can ask anybody who's ever dealt with people. You can't make anybody do anything. But boy, when they do it wrong and you've tried to help them, you know what you're thinking the entire time after they've made their failure and they're in a mess? You know what you go back and think? Was there anything different I could have said? That'll discourage you right there. But if you sit there and worry about everybody else's things, you'll be depressed, guaranteed. It's not your problem. You know the world system? The system this world has put in place, you know what they're doing and all the things and all the pieces and all the places, the way that they've got everything working and the way that they want to run things, you know what that'll do? That'll depress you right there. That'll discourage you. Look around. I mean, 1 Kings, there's Elijah. Greatest victory ever is Mount Carmel. I mean, how do you not like look at that and be like, that's amazing. Like, you crushed it. Literally killed hundreds of false prophets yourself. Called fire down from heaven in the middle of a drought and got rain to fall and finished the drought out too. I mean, like, you can't get any better than the victory that Elijah has on the top of Mount Carmel. But in chapter 19, he's running and hiding under a juniper tree. Because Jezebel is ready to kill him. You know what the world does and wants to do to you? That'll depress you. They don't like you. If you're saved, if you're a Christian, the world doesn't like you. And they're not supposed to like you. Let's face it, they don't like us. That's why friendship with the world is enmity with God. Because they're not supposed to like you. Sorry to tell you, the world's supposed to hate you. They don't like Jesus Christ. They don't like your God. They don't like your Savior. They don't like your church. They don't like your Bible. They don't like what you say. They don't like what you do every time you do it right. They don't like righteousness. So they don't like you. Man, unless you want to go along with them, and then you make it so that God doesn't like you. You just get to choose who you like. But if you start thinking about all the things they want to do, like Jeremiah did, and they drop you in a pit, and they do all the things that they want, and they... I'm going to try not to get off too far on this. This is hard right here. It's a hard line to walk right here. And not political parties. I don't care what your political party is. Everybody's corrupt in politics, all right? So it doesn't matter which side of the fence you're on, all right? I'm not doing that, okay? But all the time, you know what we hear about? We hear all these conspiracies and all these things. I want you to know something real quick. If you get sucked into all that, you will be discouraged. Because number one, there's nothing you can do to change that. Number two, you will find that there is an entire conspiracy. Because everything's rigged against you. Because the prince of the power of the air, the God of this world, is working. So if you don't think there's a conspiracy, the devil is the conspirator. So there is a conspiracy, all right? Now all the weird pieces people try to put together may not be all part of that puzzle, but the truth is there's something going on because they're supposed to be moving toward a one world government for a tribulation where they have to come and get a mark and do all those things. Now we understand that. So don't be surprised that there's a conspiracy. And don't be surprised if you find some parts to that conspiracy. But the truth is, if you stay in that idea, you know what you'll be? I'm not talking about just being one of the weirdos, all right? We're already weird, okay? By the way, side note, we don't have to be weirder, okay? All right, so don't get pulled in too far because you'll be one of the weirders, okay? When we call you weird, you know that's a problem, all right? And so you don't have to... You'll be so consumed with it, you'll go down and it'll be discouragement, and ultimately it'll be depression, and you won't be useful for the Lord in any manner. Say, well, what about the rest of the world? I mean, what are you going to do to save it? You're going to stop that? Your job is to save souls. It's not to save their politics. It's not to save their nation, and it's not to save... If revival comes to America, and I'm all for revival coming to America. You say, can that happen? Sure. God can do what He wants. All right? But the truth is that whether He revives America or He doesn't revive America, my job, it does not change. Your job does not change. And if you lose your focus, you'll get discouraged and depressed and be down because you're too busy looking at what the world is telling you. I don't like social media for lots of reasons, but I certainly don't like it because you have no idea what's true and what's not, and it takes forever to figure out what's right. It's all full of deception, and it's all full, and it's all there to consume all of your time so that you'll be discouraged and then depressed so that you don't do anything. Whew. All right, I got that off my chest. Thank you. I feel better. I feel much less discouraged now. All right. Sin, shortcomings, someone else, the system of the world. I alliterated. Pastor Legault is very specific that he enjoys the alliteration because it's easier to follow. So we're on the causes. Those will be the C's, okay? But the S's right now, the sin, the shortcomings, the someones, the system, Satan. Man, he'll discourage you quick. He got to Job. And if he can get Job discouraged, you and I are easy pickings. Yep. Let's just be honest. If he wants to discourage me, all he's got to do is get enough riled up and I'll probably be discouraged. Got to Job. You know, sometimes there's a solution that God gives you. And that solution will discourage you. He answers your request. He gives you the answer. And you don't like the answer. You ever been discouraged? Well, God's just not coming. Have you heard that? God's just not coming through for me. He probably did. You just didn't like it. Because He has never not come through. He doesn't know how to fail. So He came through. You just didn't like the answer. And you get discouraged because you don't like the answer. Jonah got discouraged. Because he knew what the answer was going to be and he didn't like it. I knew you were going to save these people. You're merciful and you're gracious and you're long-suffering. You're so nice and you're so wonderful and you're so willing to forgive and you're so willing. And the only reason Jonah's sitting there is because God is so gracious and He's so merciful and so willing to forgive. The only reason he's not dead is because God was willing to forgive him and now he's got a city full of people he spares. Well, Jonah just didn't like the answer. And then he gets mad because God takes away a gourd that he had nothing to do with. And he's mad about everything. Why? Because he's discouraged. And he's heading toward depression if he didn't fix it at the end of the book. That's where he ended. John the Baptist gets a little discouraged, doesn't he? Matthew chapter 11. Sends a couple of his disciples over to see Jesus. Because John's sitting there in a prison cell. And he doesn't like that he's sitting there. And he says, hey, Are you the one we're looking for, or do we seek another? Are you Christ or are you not Christ? And the Lord's like, you just let John know. The blind see and the lame walk and the dead are raised to life again. And you tell him, don't worry about that. I'm he. I'm the one. So why is John depressed? Because he doesn't think he's supposed to be imprisoned. God's answer, you're right where you're supposed to be, John. You just wait right there. I'll be okay. Yeah, but I don't want to be there. Yeah, I know. My grace is sufficient for thee. Paul doesn't like his answer either. Over and over again. Sometimes God's solutions can be depressing. Well, God, you're just not doing it my way. Sometimes you figure out later, you ought to be a whole lot happier that he didn't do it your way. You know, sickness can cause discouragement. Hezekiah got discouraged. Isaiah chapter 38. Isaiah comes walking into the king. Set your house in order. You're dead. You ain't got any time. Time's up. Get your house ready to go. Hezekiah turns his face to the wall and he cries to the Lord. Now, the Lord didn't have to answer. Boy, he did. But man, that'll rock you, won't it? The wrong phone call from the doctors, the wrong answer, the wrong thing, that sickness, and you weren't expecting it, and you didn't know it was coming. And they say surgery, or they say, we go through all those things. And the Lord says, you're going to beat anybody to be discouraged. You don't think Brother Netterville got a little discouraged when he heard the words that the surgery failed on his liver? They couldn't take it out. And there's nothing we can do. You don't think that kind of rocked you for a day? Maybe if you and go, oof. Well, I just don't know what to do with that. You don't think that'd get in your mind just a little bit? We had Mrs. Legault. You don't think that gets in your mind just for a minute? I mean, you'd think just for... You get news far less. And you know what? Brother Walter just had heart surgery a little while ago. You know, all those things, I mean, we got tons of people like this right now. We're praying for so many people who are recovering and dealing with and going through. And the news comes, you don't think that that's discouraging? You get that news, that's discouraging news. But if you stay there, how's God supposed to do? There it is. We'll get to that in a minute. I don't want to get ahead. I'm almost getting ahead. I'm so excited for the rest that I'm getting ahead. I'm going to give you one more. And we're reading it right here in Numbers chapter 21 and verse 4. Say, what is it? Whatever situation you're living in. I don't know what your troubles are. I don't know what problems you have. I don't know what issues you're going through. I don't know what failings. I don't know what sin. I don't know what shortcomings. I don't know what the diagnosis is. I don't know all of it, but you know what's going on in your life. I don't know what your finances look like. I don't know what your health looks like. I don't know what your family looks like. I don't know what's going on at your job. I don't know any of that, but you know all of it. And the trouble is that when we know all of it, we don't like it some days. How do I get out of this? This is overwhelming. I have too much to do and I can't get it all done and I don't know what to do first and I don't know. And you can get discouraged just looking at the pile in front of you going, how do I deal with that? Our situations can be dire for all sorts of reasons. And it can be discouraging looking at that pile. Think back for a moment. You first got saved. If you were an adult in here when you first got saved, you came from a rough background maybe. I just want you to think about this because I'm about to use this. Think of somebody you know that came out of a rough background if you got saved at 7 like I did, right? Think of somebody who got saved in their 20s and 30s and 40s, maybe later. A lot of rough edges, a lot of problems, a lot of things. They got saved. Now think of them. Maybe they've been saved for 5 years. Think of how much they've changed. That didn't happen day two, right? And any of you that got saved later, the changes the Lord made in your life, He didn't go, okay, now you need to change everything right now because I'm going to make everything better. So everything's got to go. No, He takes it steps at a time. Steps at a time. Steps at a time. Say, yeah, but my situation is too big. One thing at a time. One thing at a time. Say, how do I know what to do? Well, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So we'll figure out what He wants me to do first. At first. You know what you find? Once you start doing those little things first that He tells you to do, those other things just kind of start moving where they're supposed to. Amen. It's almost like He designed it that way. Amen. Almost like if you fix the little things and the small foxes that are spoiling the vine start going away, you suddenly are able to put the vine in order. Isn't that wonderful? Here the nation of Israel doesn't like their circumstances. They don't like the situation they're in, so they're discouraged. I'm looking at a room full of people. You know what I'd be willing to bet? I'd be willing to bet that everybody in the room has been discouraged before. And I dare say half the room might be discouraged today. And I'd say that maybe a quarter of the room might be depressed today. You know, they're two different things, but they have the same answers. Now, the causes of discouragement are many. The concern of discouragement is this, that you won't get out of it. That you'll stay there. You'll wallow in all the self-pity. You'll stay with the woe is me. You'll wait when you should get up. What's amazing is Elijah goes to a juniper tree, right? And he sits under the juniper tree and he's discouraged. And the Lord looks at him and He says, here, let me get you some food. Take some rest. Sit here for a minute. And then it's time to get up. Right? Elijah, you got to get back up now. Now it's time to get up. Enough of the woe is me. Enough of the pity part. You know, the Lord will let you have some of that. Praise the Lord, He'll let you have some. He doesn't expect you to be this weird robot with no feelings, all right? He looks at us and He says, hey, guess what? You can be discouraged. That's normal. But in a moment when I give you an answer, I need you to get back up. Because a just man, he may fall down into that discouragement, but he doesn't stay there. He gets back up. He might get rocked and he might get hit. He might get stumbling back a minute. But he comes back into the fight. He doesn't stay out of the fight. Discouragement is there, but it is not there so that you can get knocked out of a fight. It's there so you can remember you're in one. You realize that the hardships and the problems and the trials and the troubles are not there for you and I to stand there and go, well, you know, the Lord just has to give me flowery beds of ease while others fight to win the prize and sail through bloody seas. I get to have it easy and I get to go home and I get to walk and I get to just have everything handed to me and have it all gift wrapped so that it's all nice and easy and I never even get a splinter and I never get a hangnail and everything's just great and one wonderful sunshine, roses, rainbows, and unicorns, and we'll just all have a great time. That is not how the Christian life is, because God has to remind us that He is the one we are dependent upon. That when we get discouraged, we might be surprised by the discouragement, but He hasn't been surprised a day in His life. And for all of eternity, He will never be surprised. And for all of your lifetime, you'll probably get surprises. That's why we turn to Him. We look at him and we say, hey, how do I know what to do now? Because you and I don't know what to do. And he always knows what to do. What a wonder. What a wonder. The concern is that you'll wait, you'll wallow, and you just won't get back up. That's a scary thought. That God could leave you there and just go, come on, come on, come on. You need to get up now. And you're just going to sit there. He's like, we're walking this way. How many of you have young kids? Right? Amen. Glory. We're walking this way. Right? You're trying not to kill them. Can you imagine if the Lord had your temperament with your children? Oh, some days, right? Some days. You're awful glad that he's more merciful than you are. And you look, and, come on. And you just sit there in the mud, wallowing in the mire. And the Lord's like, it's time to get up. That's enough of that. That's enough of that. I find far too many people stay in the mud. They hold on to the past hurts, the past failures, the past sins, the past mistakes, the past failures of the people around them, the past things that have happened to them. They harbor resentment against God because he didn't do things their way and in their time and how they wanted it and all the things, and they pile it up and they pile it up and they pile it up and they stay in the mud. And they go from being discouraged to being depressed. And they're sunk into that muck and that mire, and they're back where they used to be. So what do you mean by that? Didn't he bring you up out of the miry clay? To set your feet upon a rock and establish your goings? You know what depression does? It puts you back in the miry clay. That's awful hard to get back out of. Because you can't seem to get your brain back to focus on what it's supposed to be focused on. Look over at Acts chapter 20. The cure. Say, how do I get out of this? I think it's the same for both. And just like there's a bunch of pieces, and I got to hurry. I wasn't planning on taking that long this morning. Just like there's a lot of causes, there's a lot of cures. Isn't that nice? The Lord says, hey, we got lots of pieces that'll help you out. We got lots of things that'll keep you from getting discouraged. We got lots of things that'll pick you back up when you get discouraged and keep you from going into that depression. We got lots of things. Acts chapter 20 and verse 23. Well, verse 22. Acts 20, verse 22. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with depression. Oh, with joy. With joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Remember your purpose. You know why we get discouraged and we get depressed? We don't have a purpose. There's no purpose in life. Everybody in the world's going, what's the purpose of life? It's hanging up on the wall right behind me. God. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You're there to please him. Christian, what pleases God more than you giving the gospel and witnessing to somebody? What pleases God more than you living your life as a good Christian and not being weighed down with the cares of everything else? Forget all the other stuff and just go tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Watch their eyes light up with the glorious gospel. Shine some light on somebody. Now, that doesn't fix everything, but boy, that'll help you out. You say, why? Because that'll remind you you're going to heaven and they're not. You might not have anything else that they have, but you've got heaven. And if they're lost, they don't. You've got a purpose. You got a job to do. You know what you can't do? You can't do your job if you're wallowing in the mire. Snap out of it. Why? I got a job to do. You know, it's funny. We're working, and I can't help it. That's how I'm built. We got a job to do. We just do the job. We're working next door. We're working on the Sunday school wing. I was over there. I was in the hole. I was climbing around. All the guys are yelling at me. I don't know how to. And then they stopped yelling because they remember that it's not going to help. All right, I'm going to do what needs to be done because that's just what we do. Right, gentlemen? That's how we're made. That's usually how a guy is built. We see a job. Okay, well, it's going to hurt. Yeah, well, that's every day. Every day can hurt. It's choosing that I'm not going to let pain win. I'm not going to be held from doing what I need to do. There's some things you can delay and you can rest and you can do, but there's things that need to be done. And guess what? There's an entire world on their way to a lake of fire. And the job is today. And if you decide all your discouragements and all the things that are happening are going to keep you from giving somebody the gospel, then you're costing somebody else an eternity in heaven. And you may be the reason they spend eternity in a lake of fire. So snap out of it. Get your brain back in the right place. Put your mind back on what? I've got a goal to do. And I can't do it wallowing in the mire. I got to get up. I got to get up. I got to dust myself off. There's something to be done. There's the purpose. There's the promises you have. We're given a great and exceeding precious promises. You got a book sitting in front of you. You know what you can do? You can turn its pages and find that God will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You got so many promises, you can't even reckon them all up in order and go ahead and let the Lord know all the things that He has told you He would do. You have so many promises in a Bible, I don't think you could get them all in one place outside of that book. You try to list them and you try to write them down and you try to think of them all and you try to think of the ways that God's going to bless you and take care of you and meet your needs and know. Exceeding precious promises. Well, yeah, but I mean, God didn't do this over here. You forget about what He didn't do because He probably did. And if He didn't, it's because He didn't need it. And neither did you. So carry on. The book is right. It's got all the answers. Quit looking everywhere else for the answers. You know why you're depressed? You keep looking at everything else for the answer. You haven't gotten the right answer yet. Go find the right one. There's a purpose. There's promises. There's preparations. The Lord's making it. He's preparing you a place in heaven. Get your eyes off of this world. Go ahead and look up. Lift up your head. Why? For your redemption draweth nigh. We're getting close. This world may be fading, it may be fleeting. You know what you find? You find that God is never fading, and He's never fleeting, and He's never going away. He's just waiting, He's preserving, and He's got it all set up for you, a place in heaven, if you're saved in here. Say, what snaps you out of depression the most? Remember, in heaven. Because no matter how bad it gets here, this is the worst I've got. That's an unbelievable thought. That you get to be born in America with all the liberties that go with it. You get to be here with all the blessings. You get to, our worst persecution would be a life of ease in most countries. You get all the benefits of being able to sit in a church and have air conditioning and have everything working and have the lights on and not have to worry about the power going out. You get all the blessings piled on, and then at the end of the day, this is the worst you'll ever have it. Choose your worst day. I know you've got, I'm not trying to make light, but that's the worst you'll ever experience in all of eternity. I think we got it made in the shade. Because you don't go from your worst day here to a lake of fire. That'd be bad. Instead, you go from your worst day here to the greatest eternity, everybody, and we couldn't even imagine the things that He has prepared for us. Whew. There's a great payoff. Remember that the sufferings of this present moment are not worthy to be compared with the glory that should be revealed in us, Romans chapter 8. See, forget about all the things and the suffering here. Look at God's got a payoff for you. He's got a benefits package that'll take care of everything forever. You know, you can think just for a moment about the present. This moment that you're living in right now. You say, what does that even mean? Why? I'm suffering. I'm looking around at the situation and this is terrible and this is awful. I don't like what I'm going through and it's depressing and it's discouraging and I don't really like it. And the Lord says, yeah, but my grace is sufficient for thee today. I woke up this morning and He said, my mercies have been renewed today. Clean page. Let's try again. Say, you just don't know. No, you don't remember the goodness and the blessings that God has given you. Look over at Hebrews chapter 10. I'm almost done. I think we'll be out of here by noon. Maybe. Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to look at a couple of verses. Sometimes you just need to, he says in 1 Samuel chapter 30, that David, you need to take a personal focus on the Lord. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Maybe you just need to remember all the great things God's done personally just for you. You know what's encouraging? Is if you've ever had any prayers ever answered. By the way, that's a good reason to pray. A lot of reasons to pray, but a good one is so that when you look back and you wonder, does God hear me? You can say, I know He does. Because He did that. Woo! And He did that. What a marvel. Say, man, you're crying a lot. Woo! It's been so good. Hebrews chapter 10. Say, what'll take care of discouragement? Some practical choices in your life. Make some practical choices. Just common sense. Normal things that people don't do. Notice what he says. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Notice this. For he is faithful that promised. Practical choice is to remember God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness. He's never failed you. He's never come up short. He's never not paid his bills. How do you know that? Because Hezekiah is the one who turned his face to the wall and said, God, remember all the things I've done for you. And God says, okay, fine, I'll give you 15 more years. I'm not going to owe you anything, Hezekiah. I'll give you 15 more years. That's a pretty generous God, especially with how terrible Hezekiah did for those 15. You look at God and you remind God of all these things. You know what he says? Okay, I'll take care of it. Hey, God, you promised to supply all my need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I need this. I don't know what to do. He says he'll never leave me nor forsake me. God, I'm feeling alone. Okay. He's the God of all comfort. He's the one who brings peace. He's the one who answers the need. He's the one who opens the door. How many of these we got to do? Always. You say, what's the problem? You're getting discouraged because you think God hasn't been faithful when He's always faithful. Verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke one another, to provoke unto love and to good works. Do some good things toward others. Find something good to do. You know, it's hard to focus on your problems when you find somebody else is in way worse shape than you. Oh, it's easy. It's easy to go ahead and think, oh man, I'm so, oh, it's so awful. It's so terrible. You know, I just wish. And then you look across the row and you go, well, I mean, I don't have their problems. There it is. I'm not going through what they're going through. If I were going through that, that'd be bad. But I'm not going through that, so I'm okay. Guess I'm all right. Let me do something for them because they need it more than I need it. Put your hand to the plow and stop looking back at all the regrets and all the failure. Stop it. Why? Because if I don't push for, if I don't pay attention, if I'm not looking for somebody else to do something for them, I'll be constantly consumed with all of me. And that'll leave you depressed. Verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Get with fellow Christians. Any chance you get around some other Christians. Whether it's here at church, whether it's just hanging out somewhere, get some good Christian friends. It's just better that way. You say, why? Because they'll encourage you. You find that everybody's going through something. We've all got problems. We've all got troubles. You say, well, yeah, but mine are bad. And yeah, but somebody else's are bad too. They're just bad in a different way. And eventually, everybody will go through the worst of them. But the truth is, the Lord's there with all of it. He's always got you. He's always with you. He's always, and He's not surprised. You may get a punch in the mouth and feel a little discouraged for a minute. But God wasn't surprised. He's waiting with answers. He's waiting to encourage you. He's waiting to look at you and go, all right, I fed you. Now it's time to get up. I fed you. I gave you a nap. You got a little bit. All right, now it's time to get up. We got work to do. See, God is not looking for you to just be the robot and not feel anything. That's not his plan. He's better than that. He remembers we're but dust. And He goes, okay, I'll give you a minute to recover from that. But when He tells you to get up, you're on that fine line between going from discouraged to going toward depression. And you'll end up in a miry pit, wallowing around in self-pity, and it's going to do you no good, and it's going to do nobody else any good, and you're going to be miserable. You say, why are you preaching this? Because I see it too much, and some days I feel it. I'm not impervious. You think I like going to the doctor and him telling me, yep, that's destroyed. Yep, you killed it. That's not great. It's not wonderful news. You look around at this world, it's not wonderful news. You look around at everything. You know the only wonderful news you've got is sitting in your lap in a Bible. It's the wonderful news, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And a wonderful future we all have. Hey, guess what? If you're depressed in here, you don't have to stay that way. Get out of the clay. Get out of the miry clay if you're down that far. Get up. Get up. Now's the time. It's not time to wait around any longer. Now he's been telling you to get up for a while, and you know it, and I know it, everybody knows it. Just get up already and get out of that place and get thinking on the right things and get doing something for somebody else and looking at other people's needs instead of worrying about all the things going on. Take care of what you can take care of and keep going. Maybe you're in here, you're just a little discouraged. You got a little punch in the mouth maybe this week. All right. Take a minute. Take a breath. All right, Lord, I know. I got walloped. Can I just have a minute? He'll say, yeah, I'll give you a minute. Let me feed you. Let me take care of you. Let me give you a hug. Let me let you know. And then, all right, when I say up, it's time to get up. Lord, help me know when it's time to get up. If you're in here and you're discouraged, I'll tell you this right now. Ask Him, Lord, You tell me when to get up so I know. Make sure I know when to get up. When it's time to get up, help me get up. I'm not saying you can't be down. I'm saying when it's time to get up, it's time to get up. Maybe you're in here and you've seen God come through over and over again on all those discouragements and all those troubles. And maybe you've come through them and you're on the other side. We all know one thing. There's always another giant. There's always another fight. There's always another thing. There's always something else coming. So don't get too shocked when you get punched in the mouth again, all right? Don't get discouraged. Don't get down and out. Don't stay down there. Go ahead and get up again. Because it's a fight of our lives. The fight's not, well, you know, I'm done. I'm older now. I can stop. It's no, that I may finish my course with joy. Let's go ahead and stand. If you need to come, please do. I know I didn't preach on salvation a lot, and maybe you thought about salvation right here and you said, man, this is crazy. Why would I want to get in this? I'll tell you why. Because we're the only people in the world who don't deserve to be depressed. I think everybody else in the world should be depressed. This is the best they got. They got nothing to look forward to. If you're in here, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'll ask you to come. We'll open a Bible. We'll show you how Jesus died for your sins, was buried, and He rose again. And He'll save you forever if you'll call upon Him. It'll be the best pickup you've ever had in your life. You won't be depressed, discouraged. You won't know anything else but joy because of how wonderful a salvation you can have. All your sins forgiven forever. What a wonderful God. If you're in here today, you're just struggling. Maybe you're in the midst of some things. Maybe you're coming out of some things. Maybe you know you're getting into some things. Maybe you've been sitting there wallowing for a while. I hope not, but if you have been, maybe come. Say, God, help me get out of this. I need to get back out of this. Help me to walk with You. Help me to be back on that solid rock. Get up and walk again. Father, I do pray You would bless the invitation now. Help us. Help us, Lord, to take some time now to look at the beloved face of our Savior and remember how great things the Lord hath done for us. Father, I pray if someone here is struggling, I pray they wouldn't stay that way. I pray they'd come to You and they'd get all the help that they need. Father, bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen.